Greetings and welcome to today's Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry program. I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez. Today is the 31st of July, 2026, Thursday. No, excuse me. Today is Friday. We're in the last day of July, 2026. My programs are these programs on the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry site. They are directed at the believers, the Christian people that are truly born again. I feel to be, I guess, a little more direct, assuming that most of the listeners have a background in Christian theology to some degree, doctrines of Christ, the teachings of the Lord, and also eschatology, the study of the end times. That may not be the case, but I direct the programs to this group of listeners. And in the body of Christ, I really do desire that all of God's children in all of the seven lampstands would mature, grow in the knowledge of who Christ is, His plan for the world as a whole, His plan for Israel as a people, His plan for the children of God in the seven lampstands, specifically because we are unique in the sense that for those that are true believers in the lampstands, the Catholic Church, Lutheran churches, the Greek churches, Episcopalian, Anglican, Baptist, Pentecostals, all of the true believers which are identified in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Within all of these seven lampstands, there are those that are nominal Christians, meaning they believe in that there's a God. They believe in morality, in righteousness, but they are not born again. They are Christian in name only. I can say I'm a policeman. I can go onto the street and I can tell people that I'm in law enforcement, but in name only, because I don't have the credentials, I don't have a badge, I don't have the training, and I am not employed by a government. So in name only. But in the churches, you have the faithful and you have the unfaithful. You have those that are tepid in the faith, that their Christianity is just something that's acceptable in society and acceptable, you know, it helps individuals to have an appearance of being godly. And then you have the believers who take their walk with Christ seriously, their growth and their maturity with Christ very seriously, that take the transformation, being transformed in the renewing of your mind by the Word of God seriously, that you want to be transformed into the image of Christ very seriously. At the present time, to all of the individuals that are listening to this program from whatever religion you are of, in the reality of the seven lampstands, this is a time now that is defining the condition of the world and what is soon to come. Hardships are coming. We cannot avoid what is coming. the Christian people that are tepid, you're lukewarm, you have been admonished by Christ in the book of in Revelation chapter 3 to the Laodicean church, evangelicals specifically, buy gold tried in the fire. We are going into fire. All of Christianity, regardless of the main denomination that we are, that maybe some may be a part of, if you're in the body of Christ, we are all going into tribulation. We are all going to suffer. We are all going to have to pay a price to take our Christian walk seriously. We really don't have a choice. With these lampstands, I've been presenting to in the previous programs the matter of the lampstands. Today's program I've titled, These are Golden Lampstands. These lampstands, they are the reality of the divinity of Jesus Christ, of Yeshua HaMashiach. The lampstands, we are not in the world. Through the centuries, Christians have become maybe common, just common, plain, just too natural in the Christian walk. So the lampstands, when people read the book of Revelation, the lampstands, they have no genuine understanding or reality of what and who these lampstands are and the objective that Christ had with these believers within these different churches. But in the very first chapter of Revelation, Christ makes it very clear in chapter 1, 2, and 3, coming right out of the gate in the revelation that Christ gave John to write, right out of the gate, Christ made it very clear in the very first two words, the revelation. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is roughly 60 years after Christ's resurrection. And now Christ visits John in the Isle of Patmos. He's incarcerated in a cave, I believe. And Christ reappears to him in his old age. I think at that time he was probably 90. I forget his age. This whole book, chapter 1 through 22, is a revelation of God himself as man and God himself as deity. He is both man and God in a resurrected state. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. We are at the shortly. 2,000 years ago, it was a snap. Now we're at the end. There are things that now are coming to pass. He signified this. He warned us of what would come. He detailed everything in the book of Revelation. It's detailed. It is condensed. It is complete. Everything would be revealed in our time. Would be revealed here. We are in the last decade. We're in the final decade before Christ returns. Men in the pulpit, they believe that many in the pulpit, I'll use evangelical Christianity more specifically, that we don't need to worry, the body of Christ, we don't need to worry because we are going to be removed from the hardships to come. Well, this prophet says, we will go through the time to come. We will sail the oceans, the tribulation, the hardships, the turmoils, the roaring of the waves, the winds that are coming to the world. This is our future. And we have a God who has experienced more than any man has ever experienced, and he lives within us. To the true born again believers, to the living body that have Christ in them, Christ, no matter what happens, no matter what comes, he will be with us, in us. He cannot separate himself from us, nor can we separate ourselves from him. John bore record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that he saw. Blessed is he, you who are reading this in the time in which we live, you believers in the Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church. As a Catholic, I always emphasize the Catholic Church first because it's one of the oldest and it is the largest. And it is the Catholic Church, according to Revelation chapter 3, the words to the church in Thyatira, is a church in trouble, is a church that is filled with witchcraft, evil, sorcery, and detestable things. To the Catholic people, I say to you, what I say about the Catholic Church, I'm just as equally as, you might say, harsh on every one of these assemblies, including Evangelical Christianity, which I am a member of. I am not critical. I guess you could say critical. I'm harsh on Pentecostal churches, on charismatic churches. I am less harsh on messianic Christianity. Still, I do point out faults and problems I see with the messianic part of evangelical Christianity. And even I'm harsh on the Baptists, the fundamental teaching, the fundamental churches that basically have a good foundation because they reject the giftings that Christ has given the body for warfare. So I am difficult. That's not the word. I tell the truth about every assembly, the church in Smyrna, the suffering churches, like Christ. I don't have much negative to say about them other than they are suffering. China, Islamic nations, South America, these believers, there's nothing harsh to say about them. Because these are the believers that have the greatest experience and reality of who the Lord is. They have the reality because they have the reality daily, trusting Him for the meal that they may have for the suffering they're going through, whatever that may be. I cannot even imagine it. I can't, you know, I listen to pastors in this country talk about the suffering church. They don't have a clue. They don't have an idea. I don't have a clue. I don't have an idea either. I have no idea what these people go through. I can casually, like others, talk about, oh, the suffering church. But I have no reality. I do have a reality of suffering. But I don't have the reality of what these family members go through in other countries. With the Church of Philadelphia, I do have the experience. The Lord commended the church in Philadelphia. There was no rebuke because their love for their fellow brother, especially for God, their brothers, for the world, there was no rebuke. I can identify with that. In my ministry, I began, my whole ministry was to evangelical Christianity. I was critical of the other assemblies because I consider them to be lukewarm. Many different prejudices I had. But over time, I realized that these are example in Russia and Ukraine, the war and the conflict. Brothers are brothers in the Russian army and the Ukrainian army are being slaughtered by the devil. They're being slaughtered. These are our brothers, and the Greek Orthodox Church, the Greek churches in Ukraine are being persecuted. The Russian Orthodox churches are not. But still, our brothers are being sent into a war. And they're brother against brother. This has always been Satan's strategy, to pit Christian believers from different regions of the world against one another. And they're employed, you might say they're not employed. In the countries they live in, there are laws which they end up in the military. So they, in the civil war of this country, the young men in the north, the south, again, believers on both sides of the battle, fighting for their political beliefs, but still at war with one another. With my ministry, I realized that my ministry has to be to all of the members, the believers in the churches. Five of the churches, they had a rebuke because of things that Christ, the dysfunctional teachings, the dysfunctional practices in these assemblies. And with the teachings, which they were faithful to the believers or the members of these assemblies were not given a true message for salvation. It was all by mainly works or loyalty to the denomination, but there was no message of being born again. This is the ultimate offense to God Himself, that you would have an assembly that would say, you must work for your salvation. And then at the end of your life, there is no salvation. At the end of your life, you have labored for nothing. We cannot labor for salvation. Salvation is free. Salvation is free through faith, by believing that God does exist, that he sent a son that was beloved, who died, and had the authority, the power, to wash away all sins. This whole world is burdened with sin. Every human being, even believers, after we are born again and we are baptized and our past sins are cleansed, we still have this war against sin. Every Christian is in war with sin. Every human being is in war with sin. Every religion is at war with sin. But true Christianity, we have the hope that our sins have been forgiven, have been washed, that we do have peace with God. That is the great hope of the reality of Christianity in every one of these churches. Now, Christ, in the book of Revelation chapter 1, is making it clear the way that he is going to reach the world is through seven family members, seven brothers, seven lampstands. This is how he's going to reach the world in the time after his death, 100-200 AD. It was through these assemblies, and they would have a prophetic journey, each one, into the future, into different areas of the world. Greece, the Greek churches, Rome, Italy, the Catholic Church, into Germany, the Church of Sardis, then out after that, shortly thereafter, 1600s, within 100 years, now you had Protestant Christianity beginning to develop, which would become basically the Pilgrims and the Puritans. Then you would have a different form of belief system, which would be more, even more refined and more powerful, and it would become evangelical Christianity. You can take the teachings of the Lutheran Church and evangelical Christianity, they are very similar, but the deeper understandings of the Word of God, God's plan for mankind as a whole, individuals, the teachings of salvation of the soul during time, and salvation eternally through faith, during time, being transformed and being renewed in your mind through the teachings of the Scripture, and then those teachings, we eventually become members who display the image, and we become the image of Christ himself. We have his characteristics. We carry his character. We have a reality of who he is daily, not once a week, not yearly, daily. Every day is a Passover, because every day we have to be protected from an enemy that is coming to destroy us. Every day we enjoy the blood, the atoning blood of the Lamb, because every day we're going to wake up to evil. And at the end of the day, we have the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from our sins again. So we break bread every day. We enjoy the Holy Spirit and the cleansing blood every day. It's not once a week. It's not once a year. It's daily. We tabernacle with Christ in the feast. And all these seven feasts we experience daily. tabernacling with Christ. He dwells in us, we dwell in Him daily. These lampstands, Christ is presenting to the world how He is going to reach the world from that time that John had the revelation and in the future. It would be the lampstands in there with as dysfunctional as they may be, five of them, still this was God's plan and this were the objectives and the responsibilities of each one of these brothers. And now, here in the time in which we live, we in America are unique. This is the land of the Church of the Laodiceans. This is the responsibility. This nation is the responsibility of the Laodicean Church. Evangelical Christianity. This nation was, the responsibility of this nation was not given to the Lutheran churches, the Greek churches, the Catholic Church. It was not given to them. This was not their land. They have a region where they were given birth. Rome, Italy, the Catholic Church. Germany, Lutheran churches. I'm putting this in your mind, emphasizing this, hammering the listeners with this. America is the land of evangelical Christianity, the baby boom Jesus movement Christianity, the Baptist Christianity, the Pentecostal Christianity, the charismatic Christianity. And in this land, during the Jesus movement, you would have something unique occur, a messianic Christianity, because during the Jesus movement in the United States of America, from 60s to the middle of the 70s, millions or maybe hundreds of thousands, I can't say millions because the Jewish population is very a small percentage of people living in this country. But thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of young Jewish men and women met their God, met their Messiah. This was something very, very unique and absolutely wonderful that occurred in the Jesus movement time in America with the baby boom generation. So we were, you might say, we were given birth to a new spiritual blessing in this country where the Jewish people had been persecuted internationally. Now Jewish people in this country, because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit after John Kennedy became the president, Jewish people began to get saved. And the Jewish people that were faithful, that stayed the course, are now, many have started ministries directed toward the Jewish families and are now doing ministry in Israel. These people are going to suffer. These people, they're the spirit that existed at the time of Christ still exists in Israel today. That hatred of a Messiah, that hatred of Christ, of Yeshua, it still exists in Israel presently. It's hidden. It's there. And now you have what is termed the Noahide laws, and you have the resurgence, Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin, a group, religious group, once again existing in Israel. This group, I tell you, there is nothing holy about it. There is nothing godly about it. I will say this. This is going to be a, just like at the time of Christ, these people will be so restrictive to the Jewish people in Israel, you won't be able to travel. You won't be able, you won't do anything on the Sabbath. The Jewish people are experiencing great freedom now. But once these, and I'm not talking about the Noahide laws, I'm talking about the existence now of the Sanhedrin in Israel once again. And part of their laws are that you will return to the laws of Moses. And in the book of Matthew chapter 24, there will come a day when someone will declare himself to be God in the temple in Israel. And it is stated, Christ stated, let those that are in Judea flee. Let them flee to the mountains. And he says, woe to those that are nursing, that have children. Woe to them. They're to flee. And he said, pray for two things. Well, he said, pray that your flight, two things, that your flight, your running, you're leaving that area to go into the nation of Jordan. Pray that it's not on the Sabbath and that it's not in the winter. Two hardships. Pray that it won't be in the winter nor on the Sabbath. This is the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin will have laws in place where the Jewish people cannot travel. So the prayer that Christ stated, he knows what is going to happen. Messiah knew 2,000 years ago that this group that put him to death, this spirit of religion, godless, it's not a godly religion, it's an antichrist religion, is going to once again, at the time of the end in the tribulation, in the last 7 years, this group will once again have great authority in Israel, and they will restrict travel. Pray that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath. So we better pray that the day after the Sabbath, these people can move as fastly, as quickly as they can out of that area, because there is someone that has just invaded the land and is going to demand worship. These lampstands, through the last 2,000 years, and especially now in the United States of America, guess what? The other six brothers have now set up camp in the United States of America. In the United States of America. I'm moving quickly, and I'm going to slow down a little bit. It's very unique. I don't like it, because this land is to the spiritual authority in the United States is the Church of Laodicea. This whole country and everything pertaining to this country, including the Constitution, the laws of the land, were to make the Laodicean Church to mature and to give us the authority that we need to have spiritually over the powers of this nation. And what had happened is immediately when the Pilgrims and the Puritans landed here, when these other brothers realized this new territory, this new land with new laws, they decided they wanted to be part of, they wanted to extend their authority. Well, In the plan of God, it had to be. But now, I say that they're all here. The whole family is in the United States of America. Well, now, the whole family, all of these other assemblies, these lampstands, they have all now taken position in the land of the coming beast. We are in the land of the individual who declare himself to be God in Israel in the middle of the tribulation. Presently, there are 50 million different directions that the pastors of this country in the evangelical churches, directions that the Catholics have, the Lutherans have, the Greek churches, all the other assemblies, they all have a direction to further their own interests. There's not going to be a furthering of anybody's interests. That time is coming to an end. God's interests and his plan is going to be furthered. All of these churches now, these lampstands, are now located and anchored in the land of the plumed serpent. America means the land of the plumed serpent. They have taken shop, taken up shop. They have taken up residence in America. All seven brothers located on one ship. But the brothers need direction. And it's going to come from the church in Laodicea. The direction is going to come from evangelical Christianity. Eventually, according to the prophecies of what Christ said would happen, I'll give the church of Laodicea, the church of Thyatira, the Catholic Church. The Lord said that he would give her time to repent of the dirty, of the evil deeds, of these sins of Catholicism. Catholic people, I'm not attacking you. I'm presenting to you what God himself, Christ himself, told John to write about Thyatira. God has an offense with Thyatira. God himself. The offense is that so great, there is, I'll give you just a tidbit. The Lord said that he's going to make Thyatira an example because he's going to put fear in the other six brothers. He's going to make the Catholic Church an example of punishment by God on one of the lampstands and those who have been leaders in the lampstands and the conduct of the lamp of that lampstand. Christ must be the center of your adoration, not a the center of my adoration is not evangelical Christianity. It is dysfunctional. It is messed up. It is missing the mark. But with all of us, as Christ leads us through the years, we get to see things more clearly. And eventually, everything, hopefully, is centered toward Christ himself. There was a day where the Lord told me, I am not to preach Christ plus my church. I used to say, yeah, you know, the Lord, and come to my church. Well, the churches are important for new believers so they can be anchored in the faith if it's a Bible-believing church, if the doctrines are correct. But I could not give my allegiance to the assembly that I initially was a member of because eventually things would happen in that assembly and there were things that were off doctrinally and in practice, and God had removed me from there. In all the assemblies through time, the same thing. I eventually see where doctrinally there are things that I cannot agree with. I cannot agree that God's children are going to be taken out of the hardship to come. I can't, because then you don't have soldiers. You don't have an army. You have people that have gone AWOL, have deserted. We can't have that. We're in the time of the end. We're in the last decade. Hardships are coming. And for the most part, the whole bodies of Christ, we don't see it. And the Lord is going to make the Catholic Church an example. So Catholic people, you need to know what the Bible says about your system that you're in. Unto the angel of the church of Thyatira, the Catholic Church, write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like unto fine brass. His eyes penetrate and see every evil. Nothing in the Catholic Church is hidden from the eyes of God himself. And the Catholic people, they serve the Son of God. Christ comes to the Gentile people as the Son of God. His feet are like fine brass. His feet are judgment. Brass. The lavers were made when Israel began. The lavers that they would wash in to cleanse themselves with the sacrifices were made of brass. The brass held the sin that would be washed. Christ, his feet are like brass because he comes judging sin, every impurity. I know your works. I know your love. I know your service. I know your faith. I know your patience. I know your works. Works doubled. I know your works. I know your works. And the last to be more than the first. As people get older and they realize the depths of their sin, they actually work harder. This is one of the misunderstandings within Catholicism. We're not saved by works. We are saved by faith. But the Lord did put in here, I know your faith. Verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, because you suffer that woman Jezebel. There's something within Catholicism that is addressed immediately by the Lord. You suffer that woman Jezebel. I'll let the Catholic people, you think about what Christ is saying. You think about it. Who calls herself a prophetess to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed to idols. This is idol worship. There's idol worship. Idol worship is fornication. You are not giving your full adoration, your full allegiance, your full commitment, and your whole, all of your love to Christ. You are splitting it. You're splitting that devotion. You cannot worship the Mary. You cannot worship. Your adoration cannot go to this Marian worship. It cannot go to prayers toward the, you would pray to St. Jude for one thing, for St. Francis for another. You can't. This is idolatry. And then, you cannot pray to the dead. You cannot pray for the dead. You look at Mexico, the Day of the Dead. It's a national prayer day. No, these are the deep things of Satan, which comes up. Verse 21, I gave her space to repent. It's been 1,500 years. 1,500 years, time, plenty of time to repent. But she repented not. In the Catholic Church, there are two churches one overt, one covert. In the overt church, these popes have basically been directed by the covert church to stay with the initial tradition and the initial direction of the papal society. The children in the Catholic Church are, according to the teachings of the Catholic Church, they are a sacred people, and I agree 100%, a sacred people. But you don't have such a sacred leadership. You don't have sacred doctrine. You have sacred people. And this is who God wants to be. He wants these children to be His. He doesn't want to share allegiance with any system. He says here, I'm going to cast her into a bed. This is not positive. This is extremely negative. And them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. There's not going to be any catching away. There's not going to be any. There won't be a rapture. I'm going to throw her into, and those that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Not only in the Catholic Church, but outside, the nations that have worked with the Catholic Church and used the Catholic Church for the government purposes. And those that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds, there's still time. Verse 23, Revelation 2:23. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches will know that I am He that searches the reins and the hearts. I will give unto every one of you according to your works. All of the churches, God is going to use the one child, take the one child to the woodshed, and all the other churches will watch the punishment, and it will put fear in all the hearts of the other members, of the other family members, the brothers, the lampstands. My ministry is to the Catholic people. I'm a former Catholic. I have family members, both sides of the family, that have been steeped in this evil, that don't know what's coming. They have been, from the time of their being children, from the time they're born as children, and now at the end of their lives. But God, in His way, many of those who never really were loyal to the Catholicism, somehow God met them at the end of their lives. There are other family members who were devout Catholic. They were practicing, and they were devout in their devotion, their allegiance to the Catholic Church, but also to their allegiance and their love and their service to the Lord. And they are believers. They are with Him. Millions in the Catholic churches are going to eternal fire because there isn't a clear understanding of salvation by faith. Salvation by faith. Martin Luther did it right. Jumping from works to faith. This was massive. This was earth-shattering. Earth-shaking. And the next church, that the Church of Sardis, and it started to shake the world to justification by faith. And the next, the sixth church, Philadelphia, picked up on it. they picked up on it and they began to take a new way to come to God, to the world, and Catholicism could not handle it. The spirit behind Catholicism caused great persecution and death. It's right here in the Church of Thyatira, Revelation chapter 2, Thyatira, verse 18, it begins. I'm going to cast her into a bed, then they commit adultery with her, into great tribulation unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death. All the churches shall know that I am he that searches the reins and hearts. I will give unto every one of you according to your works. So in this body, there are those that are faithful. My ministry is to those of you who understand that you are in the land of the coming beast. Your allegiance must be to Messiah, to Christ. Verse 24, But I say unto you, and unto the rest in Thyatira, and as many as have not known this doctrine, and who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, in the Church of Thyatira, there is something deep in the occult, deep, deep into the depths of Satan. For those that have studied Catholicism, they say that Antichrist comes out of Catholicism. No, Antichrist does not come out of Catholicism. That is a lie. This is one of God's lampstands. The Catholic Church is one of the wonderful lampstands of God. It is a great assembly. Not all would fit into that assembly and know God in that assembly, but there are those that know God and have known God, and they will always be members, in a sense, of that assembly. There'll be a time when they will switch their thinking, but it has been one of the ways, it has been one of the lampstands that has, throughout the earth, there has been light of Jesus, the Son of God, to the nations, and God has used Catholicism in a mighty, mighty way. We cannot take away the fact that God has used this lampstand for 1,000 years. In a period of darkness, God used this brother to reach the world, to change the world, to convict men of their sins. So we have to understand God, there are things that God is displeased with, the deep things of Satan, and God is going to, he must deal with it. He will. He's righteous. He's holy. His feet, burnished bronze, bronze like they've just come out of the oven. Brilliant, brilliant, because God must address the sinful nature of his people. Who have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I put upon you no other burden, but that which you have already, hold fast till I come. The faith that you have, the knowledge of God that you have, the worship of the Lord that you have, the experiences that you have with God through your lifetime, hold these things fast. Keep them in your hand. Keep them in your grasp. Keep them in your mind. Hold fast these things. He's coming. He that overcomes, and you keep my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations. You're going to rule with Christ. You will rule with him. And you shall rule them with the rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter, shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. There will be many Catholics who will rule over the nations. The Catholic Church was a church with the thought of rule of the nations. And here Christ said, for those that overcome, you will rule. Just like the Catholic Church had ruled over the nations, you believers that are faithful, you will rule. And in the millennial kingdom, don't think that there's not going to be sin. There's going to be sin. Sin isn't a nature. It's in the very DNA or the being. It's in the being of every human being. It's the last. Death will be the last thing that God will deal with. The sinful nature. 1,000 years into the future. Finally, sin. The best way I'll explain to you. In the Garden of Eden, you had the serpent. And the serpent deceived Eve. The poison was injected. And from that point forward, man began to die. Adam and Eve were perfect. They would have lived eternally. But poison was injected. Well, eventually, the Lord dealt with the snake. But the poison is still in the body. A rattlesnake, it bites you. In retaliation, you cut the head off. Good. The snake is dead. Done with. No. Now you deal with the poison. The poison will be dealt with at the end when God wraps up the universe. But until then, even in the millennial kingdom, mankind will be, they'll still be within the nature of man, rebellion, sin, evil, a lying nature, a stealing nature, a lazy nature, laziness. One of the most evil parts of the nature of mankind, laziness. It's addressed all through the Bible. It's nature. This is why if you're in a good fellowship and you have a good brother that knows how to raise the children in the fellowship, first thing that'll happen is you'll get a job. First thing will happen is you will be told you're not going to come and sit around, play games all day. You're going to work. Because the best thing for you, it builds character, responsibility, and it is healthy mentally for people. Laziness. Our culture now, because our government has now become the nipple to the bottle for millions of people in this country, men and women. And what does it do? You have a nation that is lazy, a nation that is worthless to a great degree. I'm going to continue in the next program. It's in too important, these lampstands. If you see these lampstands from God's eyes, you'll realize these are golden lampstands. They are the divinity and all of what God is in these assemblies. The Son of God, the Son of Man. This Present Truth is the website. Contact me, support me. Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. Catholics, I am for you. I am against the evil within the assembly. ThisPresentTruth.com, my website, and then two sections, Olive Tree and Lampstand Programs, This Present Truth Programs. God bless you. God bless you. God open your eyes to the truth. I'll be back again.